And just because I've got my Packer tie on today doesn't mean a thing as far as the time goes. You'll be out before game time. One of the elders said, "Boy, you picked a great time for this flu season. Greet one another with a holy kiss." What are you, crazy? We're going to pray, and then we're going to open God's Word. Our Father in Heaven, thank you so much for your Word. And we pray that as we continue looking at some of the one another commands of the Scripture, that we might understand what your Word says, that we might have those relationships within this body of believers that would be reflecting who you are, not only to one another, but also to a watching world. And we thank you for what you'll do today in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. I grew up on the East Coast, in the metropolitan area of New York City. My mother had a number of aunts in Long Island and New York City, and periodically we would make the journey over the river, and it wasn't through the woods, it was through the city, and we would get out to Long Island to visit them. Of course, they were elderly, plump, had gray hair, and would give you the wet, sloppy kiss that aunts do. The relationship obviously meant more to them than it did me as a 8 to 10 year old boy. But that was the way it was. They were glad to see us. We didn't get to see them often, and they were always happy to have us come and visit with them. You know, it's interesting. Our relationships. We often do things, and greetings take many forms, sometimes handshakes, sometimes hugs, sometimes kisses. When Marcia and I were in Tanzania just a couple weeks ago, after both church services, as we exited the building, the leaders started forming a line. We stood next to them, and after everyone came and shook hands with us, they stood next to us, and here you have this huge receiving line, so the entire church greeted everyone. I thought that was very interesting. Of course, they've got the weather to do it, because they do it outside. It would be a little, we'd go around a couple times the gymnasium to do that, but I thought that was very interesting. They took seriously the greeting one another, at least in that way. So that was a new one for us. But things we do often, sometimes we wind up making them meaningless if we don't consider the significance of what we're doing. We look in the Scripture, and at least five times you find these words, "Greet one another with a holy kiss," or as Peter says, "Greet one another with the kiss of love." These aren't the only places that they say, "Greet one another." Sometimes it's not the form, or the form is not mentioned as far as the kiss goes, but it does say, "Greet one another." We want to take a look at what those words mean. What are they, and what are we doing here? So let's take a look at these biblical commands, and that our greetings should reflect the relationship that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ. Names are important. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. A lot of times when we get past Romans 15 and Paul says amen at the end of verse 33, we kind of skip over the names. We can't pronounce some of them anyway. And as we typically do, we say, well, there's probably nothing in there. Well, actually, there is a lot of things in there that we can pick up. The fact that Paul says, "Send my greetings to," or he names at least 33 people, and 27 he says, "Greet," and a couple of the others he simply mentions in passing as to some directions for them. Names are pretty important. When you get mail that's addressed occupant, what do you do with it? Yeah, it doesn't even get in the door, does it? You just pitch it. If it's that impersonal, then you're just going to respond that way. But if somebody calls your name, if you see a handwritten letter or a handwritten on the envelope, you're much more inclined to take a look and see who it's from. And we do that. It's important to know one another's names. We are still the size church that you can do this. And you're saying, well, I'm not very good with names. You can get a pad of paper and you can do it, and as you visit with people and as you get to know them, you will begin to know their names. It is important. This idea of greeting, it is personal, it is warmly, and the word carries with it the idea of the shalom of the Old Testament idea. It also literally means to enfold in the arms, to welcome, to embrace, to greet. There is a relationship, obviously, that is important here. The relationship with believers, in particular, loved ones. We could go back to the family idea of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, where I think we've talked about this before. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And we see those words there again about loving one another. When I get together with my family members and even other people, I often inquire, especially if I haven't seen them for a while, as to how they're doing, how their family are, their children, their grandchildren, their ministries, what's going on at work, things like that. And it's not just a quick visit, if we've got time, obviously. And that's something that we need to take a serious look at. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Again, as we look at Romans 16 and the list of people, I think that Paul, when he says, send my greetings or greet so-and-so, he's saying something more than just say hi to them. You know, there is a lot more attached to the greeting, especially if you know people, you're interested in them. Many times as people inquire as to how I am, they ask how Marcia's health has been. You have done that. When we go other places, people have done that. They're inquiring about our well-being as well as our ministry. You know, our relationships enhance the greeting. If we have no relationship with somebody, the greeting is going to be a little bit less than to people that we have the relationship with. The other thing that we look at is that our relationship in Christ transcends all other relationships, husband and wife, parent, child. Why is that so? It's because if the husband or wife is not saved, if the parents or children are not saved, you don't have that common bond in Christ. There is something that is above the physical and human relationships in Christ. And that's one thing that we have here at Grace Bible Church and around the world, really. Some of you have traveled. You immediately have that bond of fellowship with other believers wherever you are. You have visited different churches here in this country, and you have sensed that, haven't you? I'm sure that's been true. Our greetings should also reflect the purity and sincerity. If you look here at the command, and we're looking at Romans 16:16, I made a mistake in the reference in your newsletter, but that's okay. We're in the ballpark. Paul says, "Greet one another." That's the command with the holy kiss. That's the expression. There is the function and there's the form. The form takes many, or the expression takes many forms. We've talked a little bit about that. I'll give you a few more illustrations of that. But we have to go back to the command. The command is to greet one another. The function is going to be the variable in our discussion today. And how does that take a look? In the Old Testament, New Testament times, there were cultures in the Mideast where if a man saw a friend of his, he would come up, he would embrace him, kiss him on both cheeks, put his right hand on his heart, then on his lips, slowly raise his hand to his head, and then they would clasp each other's hands and talk for a while. What were they saying? With my heart, I love you. With my lips, I give you the kiss of friendship. With my head, I respect and esteem you. Interesting, isn't it, what they do? That's what they were saying with these gestures. As they exchanged greetings and inquired about one another's welfare, it could take up to a half hour. This was not, hi, how are ya? Okay? When Jesus said in the Gospels, he said on one of the journeys that he was sending the men out, he says, if anyone salutes you or greets you, don't greet him back. Why? It was going to take too long. This particular journey is urgent. Don't take time to stand around and greet one another in the normal way. He wasn't saying be rude. He was simply saying, this is an urgent task. I don't want you to be delaying in your doing it. That's what that meant. So if you happen to come back to that, that's what that is talking about. By and by, the Christians not only used the kiss of peace or the kiss of love to be a greeting, but a token of Christian brotherhood, a pledge of fellowship and affection. And it was most often used between persons of the same sex, but not exclusively so. Didn't have any sexual overtones. We are so afraid of those things today. And some of you are nervous about germs, and I understand that, so we're okay. Again, we're talking about the form, all right? There are documents in the 4th century A.D. with reference to men sitting on one side of the church, women sitting on the other, and the men were instructed to greet other men with the kiss of the Lord, and between them. So, and by the way, in case you're getting worried about what we're going to do, don't worry. We're not doing anything. We're talking about the greeting. We're talking about the function and the form, okay? So don't worry. But greetings were definitely more than hi. We have to understand that. Unfortunately, later in church history, the kiss became part of the church liturgy and became meaningless. It was used so often, and it was, in fact, it became such that in some places a little wooden or metal tablet with a picture of a crucifix, very much like an icon, was first kissed by the priest, passed to the congregation, and everybody would just kiss the icon or the little metal tablet. And I can't imagine anything more carrying germs than that. I mean, at least if you kiss somebody, you've got your choice of which germs you want. Okay? You won't forget this, will you? The point is, anything can become meaningless, and it did. When we're talking about a holy kiss, we were talking about the form of greeting. We're saying here is something that was done with pure motives, without hypocrisy, without pretense, without any sexual overtones. It was a holy kiss. It was the kiss of love. Peter uses two words in his phrase. One, that word, like we get Philadelphia, the brotherly love, and the second one was agape, which had to do with the self-sacrificing love. So, I mean, connecting those two words, Peter really put the pile on the emphasis of purity in those words, and Paul also in the sense of the holiness. It's interesting how the kiss is not just it is one of the forms of greeting. Handshakes, hugs, and verbal greetings are also likewise. When I was in Bolivia a number of years ago, the handshake was you shake hands, you pat the person twice on the right shoulder, and then you shake again. Interesting. Many of you have shaken hands with Kasi. Have you gotten the Ghanaian or the Togo handshake? There's the handshake, there's the click of the fingers as you grab the other person's finger and it snaps. And I know Beth's nodding her head. You remember that, and Ruth probably does. Daniel's tried it. He hasn't gotten it yet. It took me a few weeks. Eventually, somebody did it in slow motion, and I finally got it. When we were in Tanzania, it was a handshake of, that way, this way, and then back again. So, I mean, they've got their own, everybody's got their own cultural handshake. When I was preaching in Western Siberia, in Omsk, in 2002, after the service, a man came up, older man, older than me, came up and just kissed me right on the lips. And, fortunately, I was warned about that. that could happen. But, instead of the wheels going funny, I thought to myself, he really accepts me. I'm one of them. And that's really what I felt. I was very gratified in that sense. We're brothers in Christ. He appreciated the sermon. He respected me as a believer. So that was a meaningful thing, not a strange thing. That wasn't the first time it happened, or the last time it happened. That was it happened beyond that. When I was in Ukraine and Russia, there was a part of the service at the end, they would kind of give announcements, but they'd also ask for greetings from people who came from other churches to visit that day. And frequently, there were 4, 5, 6, 7 people that would stand up in different places in the congregation and say, "We bring you greetings from our church." They were from a different village, and they would say, "We bring you greetings." And that was one of those things, that here were people who felt the common bond in another congregation, and they brought greetings from the other churches. We don't do that. I'm not sure why, but just doesn't happen. The point is that our greeting needs to reflect our respect, our interest, our concern, our enthusiasm for being part of God's family. When you look at what we do, when we say to somebody, "How are you?" Do you give them a box this big to, you know, do you stand around for the answer? Are you interested? You know, if you don't have time to do that, then maybe you shouldn't say, "How are you?" If you are interested and you want to know, then does the other person have the relationship with you to say, "Yes, I believe you do want to know, and I'm going to trust you with the answer"? If I'm having a bad day, do I need to say, "Fine, I'm doing okay," or do I say, "I'm having a bad day"? You know, there is that sense of honesty with one another in that greeting. And we need to be honest with one another, because then we can pray for each other. Can I pray for you this week? Can I support you and be that safety net? Can I be the encourager? And I know Daniel's preached about the admonition and the encourager and the comfort, all those things. Do we take the time, the interest and care in our greetings to one another? You do have some time to do that. And maybe it's not the full-blown thing, but could you say, get back to me. I really need to talk to you this week. And go on with that greeting and that sense of encouragement. That would be helpful, I'm sure. But it does take a sense of honesty. Obviously, the relationship has to precede the greeting, as well as the form of the greeting. Very important to understand that sequence. Our greetings also should communicate the warmth of God's love. You know, God is relational, we are relational, and it's important that we have that sense of who God is in relation to our expressions. I'm impressed with how many times that the Bible tells us that we have to have right relationships with each other, and that's a very important thing to do. You'll know we're Christians not by our doctrine, but by our love for each other, Jesus says specifically in John 13, verses 34 and 35. If we're greeting one another, you know, this guards against partiality and cliques. As you look at the list of people in Paul's list in Romans 13, sometimes he gives a comment about them, as he commends Phoebe, as he commends Priscilla and Aquila in verse 3. He says, "These are my fellow workers in Christ. They risked their life for my necks, or their own necks for my life. Greet the church in their house." That was a location of where one of the churches was. These people had been with Paul in different places. They had already been in Corinth, and they had been in Ephesus, and now they're in Rome. And then Paul goes on to mention a number of people there. But you know, as you look through these, some of these people would be rich people. Some of them would be poor people. There was no class distinction in Paul's greetings. He visited with everyone, slave and free, rich and poor, no class or ethnic barriers, as he did that. So if we're going to do this correctly, we want to be able to greet everybody without partiality and without excluding people. Also guards against stale relationships, I think, if we're honest with one another. There needs to be that genuine interest and concern, enthusiasm for each other. It also causes us to evaluate relationships. Now, when you stop and think of, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, because this is one of the other places that we see this phrase, verses 19 and 20. "Churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Prisca, or Priscilla, greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that's in their house." It says, "All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." Now, this is Corinth. This is the carnal church. This is the church with all the problems. And when Paul says, "Greet one another," and "greet one another with a holy kiss," stop and think about the church that he's writing to. He's saying, here's a church with problems. You better get some things straightened out if you're going to be greeting people this way. How could you greet anybody if you've got relational fractures with them, and let alone greet them with a holy kiss? Can't do it. That's how important it is to have the relationship straightened out and to have that common bond in Christ and without barriers. That's what Paul was talking about here. We've been going through in our adult Sunday school class, practical Bible involvement, about resolving everyday conflicts. You know, those are the things that need to get taken care of before we can really greet one another and have the relationships that we need to have. It's important that we take a serious look on that. Today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. We are going to be continuing from the video that we were looking at last week. Forgiveness is such an important thing. How do we clear the slate? We're going to talk about that today in the next session. What else does greeting one another do? Causes us to evaluate our relationships, just talked about that. And it also causes us to think about others rather than ourselves. Pastor saw a man in the back of the congregation with his hat on one day, and he kind of signaled to the usher to go chat with the guy to have him remove his hat. Well, the usher went and talked to him, and he said, "Do you know you have your hat on?" He says, "Praise the Lord, this is the first person that's talked to me in 6 months." That wouldn't happen here, I'm sure, but that's the kind of the unfortunate thing that we don't greet one another. We've talked about, I know some churches have the 5-minute rule or the 10-minute rule where you don't talk to anybody that you know for 5 minutes afterwards or 10 minutes afterwards. That's not a bad idea. If there's somebody that you don't recognize, go introduce yourself to them, take a little pad and find out their name as well. This is also a super personality command. It doesn't make any difference what your temperament is. If you're quiet and shy, you still have the responsibility to obey the command. And that's something that's important to us. God doesn't expect all of us to be lives of the party. That's not what we're looking for. We are looking for biblical obedience to biblical commands and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish because of the relationships. There were two men visiting in a church. They happened to be sitting sitting next to each other. One man said to himself, "If nobody speaks to me today, I'm never coming back." The other man said, "If nobody speaks to me today, I'm going to speak to somebody." At the end of the service, they both got up, one man to leave, never to come back, and the other man turned to him and grabbed him by the hand, introduced himself to him. Boy, that's what we need to have as far as our own attitude. You know, if we have that kind of turtle in the shell type of attitude of, I'm going to wait for somebody to talk to me. Okay, I understand you're maybe quiet or shy, but, you know, take the step. Go talk to somebody. It'll do you good, and it will certainly be obedient to the Lord's commands. The other thing that I find interesting is that it also reflects the warmth of God. God is knowable and touchable. When Jesus came to earth, look at 1 John chapter 1. He says, John says, the one that we saw, the one that we heard, the one we spoke to, the one we handled, we touched. I'm sure Jesus was with the men. He hugged them. He walked with them. Judas, at the end, betrayed Jesus with a kiss, didn't he? That was not something that was uncommon amongst the men. It was something, this was not going to be an unusual thing. It was something that was common, and that's why he did that. But stop and think, Jesus healed, touched the blind, touched the deaf, touched the lame, touched the sick. He held the children, he touched people. I think the Lord, in his graciousness, has allowed my ministry to evolve over the years. Coming from a German-Swedish background, I didn't grow up in a home that was huggers. I mean, we were somewhat affectionate, but not a lot. When I met Marcia and became more into her family and eventually married into the family, they were huggers. And so that was a change. As I began ministry in Oconomowoc and would visit with people in the hospital and prayed with them, and I did that routinely, just as any pastor does. I don't recall putting my hand on them. I didn't have any healing powers, obviously, but I didn't realize how much how important it was to touch them when I prayed. I think as I came here to Grace and I visited many of you in the hospitals, I either hold your hand, touch your shoulder, or something. There is some connection, and I don't have any corner on God's market as far as Him hearing my prayers more than yours, but the connection that we have in just touching one another and having that relationship is important. When we commission missionaries and we lay our hands on them, we could pray just as easily without it, but the connection with our people that we're sending out is so important. That identity, that I identify with you, with what you're going through, where you're going to. If you're going into surgery, I want to put my hand on you and pray with you just so that you know that you've got a personal friend and a God that hears and answers prayer. So, all that being said, there is an importance to a handshake, a touch, holding one's arm. I was noticing as the men were shaking hands with me in Tanzania, sometimes not only the different handshake, but also they would grab their right hand with their left hand and shake this way. So there was that aspect as well. As you get around you, you see these other things. But how important is it that we understand that we're really reflecting the warmth of God? Does it need to be a kiss? No, it doesn't need to be a kiss. We are touchable people because we're children of a touchable God. And that's what we need to communicate with one another. Our greetings should be part of a lifestyle of hospitality. Hospitality is not inviting people into our perfect homes, but it is inviting people into our imperfect hearts. I think there's something wise to be said there, that we want to make people feel welcome in our presence. And that's what Peter talks about, especially in 1 Peter chapter 4. When he talks about being hospitable, he says the end of all things is at hand. And I appreciate what Mary commented about today, about praying about the Ebola situation. Marcia and I were just talking about the other day about, boy, this certainly has the potential of being a plague, very similar to the plagues in Revelation. I don't think we're there yet, but you know, when you have things go through people's or countries as quickly as it's been going through, it obviously is a problem. But what does Peter say? The end is at hand in chapter 4, in verses 7 and following. But he says in verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint or without murmuring. You know, a lot of times we complain about being hospitable, and are we inviting people into our hearts, or do we see that it needs to be something that is a meal? It doesn't need to be a meal. It's not directed at women necessarily. He says, I'm a blessing, or I've been blessed. I'm going to be a blessing to somebody else. And I believe that Peter's comment here is about that hospitality, of being able to make somebody feel welcome in your presence, whether it's in standing here at the church building, whether it's in your home, wherever it might be. I've received from a gracious God, therefore I can be gracious to you and what you want or help you in some way. John the Apostle, I'll get to that in just a minute. You think about it fundamentally, hospitality is simply love in action. It's much more to have to do with the resources of a generous heart than sufficiency of food or space. We can be hospitable by inviting people into our home, but we can also be hospitable by just simply that welcome. Gaius was a man that the Apostle John knew, Paul knew, and he was a man who John says, dear friend, you're being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they're strangers to you. They've told you, told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. You know, it's interesting to be a stranger in some place and see how people respond to you. When Marcia and I got married, guess where we honeymooned? It wasn't Hawaii, it was Milwaukee. So the rest of the story is we're here today. But when we went there, we were there over a Sunday because we got married on a Saturday. We went to a small Baptist church on the south side. I couldn't tell you where it was. This is obviously a long time ago. But there was a couple there that invited us home for a meal with them. We were very surprised. We weren't one of the visiting teachers that they needed to do this for. We were just newlyweds. And we had a nice meal with them and a nice visit. And obviously brothers and sisters in Christ. But I've never forgotten that. Here we were total strangers. And we've never been back. You know, I think the Lord brings people in and out of our lives to teach us some lessons. We might be just that couple to somebody today or sometime in the future. But they were certainly a hospitable couple to us. You know, one of the most important things as people are visiting Grace Bible Church is not the sermon. The sermons don't happen until, you know, well into the hour. And it may not be the music. It may be your greeting when you first arrive or when somebody first arrives. Are you friendly? You know, do you greet people warmly? You know, that's welcome. Come and sit with me. Let me introduce you to these people. All those things may be the very thing that somebody needs to be able to really plant themselves here at Grace Bible Church. And yes, the sermon and the music may be important eventually, but it's your personal contact with the people before that. Very important. Okay. Where are we? Need a new battery. Can you advance that one, please, Vivian? And we'll wrap it up. Some people don't want to be hugged. Okay? What's the point? It's not the rhino's horn. The point is, we need to greet one another. If you don't have the relationship to hug somebody, then don't. You know, those friendships form over time. It's not something that can be pressed and hurried. So we're not talking about the forms of the greeting as much as the greeting. The form of the expression of greeting will come naturally to you and whoever you're talking to. Okay? So please go out of here thinking that, or and believing that Paul is not saying we need to greet one another with the holy kiss. If you've got the relationship with somebody and that's appropriate, then fine. If it's not, and don't expect it from me, we'll leave it at that. But let's follow the commands. Let's be warm and personal and caring in our greeting. Let's be interested in our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the point. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us and that you are a God who can be talked to, a God who can be touched. Father, please use us to be the warm and gracious people that you have been to us. Help us to be that to one another. Father, we're so grateful for the way that you've worked in our lives. Help us to understand these commands in the Scripture so that we might be able to do them in practical ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, please rise for a closing hymn. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Do you want to play through it once, Ruth? Because I don't think it's...